Sometimes I like to do puzzles. And I was doing I did a cryptogram. You know what a cryptogram is? Cryptogram is that there's this saying, but they put different letters, and you have to figure out what letters, you know, are the real letters, and then it figures out a saying, or usually a pithy saying, or a, you know, some kind of adage or proverb or famous person's quote or something. So there was one I did the other day, and it said, trying to get it right. I don't remember the whole thing, but it said something about if you act like you're the most unenlightened person and that you can learn from everyone else, eventually you'll attain great wisdom. And I thought, that sounds really good, but it's really stupid. Because if you learn from everybody else, you'll be really confused. You know, you look around the world, and even with the supposedly wise people and scholars and poets and philosophers, and you read all their stuff, and it's really stupid. Anyway, what we want to look at is the Word, because that's what we look at. The Word, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, and he says that we are to look at his Word. So Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to go. And one of the things about what we're going to read here is, you know, many people quote the Word of God, especially now where we have political things starting to go on, and politicians will quote the Word all the time, but they always quote it wrong or out of context, you know. And, you know, you walk into some libraries and they always have knowledge will give you freedom or whatever, will set you free. Well, and not necessarily knowledge in that library. But let's see. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And, you know, people will use that and speak about that and quote it and give it all kinds of meanings and justifications for things they're doing or things they believe or whatever. But, you know, one of the keys to interpreting the Word is context, right? So we're going to go back to verse 38. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's from the Old Testament somewhere. Exodus and Leviticus. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And the word smite really means to strike or beat or scourge or slap on the face. That's what the word literally means in Greek. Bishop Pillai said that smite here means to touch. It was the greatest insult in the East to be touched on the right cheek. And the worst of all would be if a woman or a girl would touch you on the right cheek. That would show that you are lower than low if somebody touched you on the cheek. The emphasis is not on the force of the blow, but it's on the humiliation. And I guess that's the point. It's the humiliation of it. And so Jesus Christ says, if you shall be smitten or smite on the right cheek, turn the other also. Let him smite you on the other one. Now, of course, if somebody were to face you and touch you on your right cheek, they'd be touching you with their left hand, wouldn't they, usually? Which means, you know, that's the hand of cursing. So, you know, we have this. It says, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if any man shall sue thee, verse 40, at the law and take away thy coat, let him give thy cloak also. So here it's speaking about a legal conflict. They would wear several things a lot of times. Like they would have, you know, their robe or tunic underneath, and then they would have, you know, a cloak on top or a robe. And so he says, well, if they take one, give them the other also. I won't leave you with much, but. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And there's an oriental significance to that, too. If the king were to send somebody and they needed your horse, they could compel you to give you the horse. Or if they needed aid in going, they could compel you to take them along the way, a distance, and so on and so forth. So he says, if they compel you to go one, we'll go two. That's what twain means. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about dealing with other people and dealing with insults and dealing with impositions. And he's, you know, saying, be gracious, you know, be gracious and don't get insulted by things and so on and so forth, which is not the way that the Jews, if you study their culture and their religion and their time, dealt with that stuff. They were just the opposite. They would get pretty violent about stuff, and vengeance was a big deal in their society. So it goes on to say, I read verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, if thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Woohoo! But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay? So, first of all, who's he talking to? He's talking to Israel, right? He's talking to Jews. And who was their neighbor? All of Israel, right? Anybody that was of the tribes of Israel was their neighbor. And their enemies would be the aliens, strangers, people outside of Israel. Hold your place here because we're coming back and go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Verse 17. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And this is, you know, we're dealing again with Israel. It's Leviticus. It's the law written to the Jews. And they were to not hate their neighbors nor bring sin upon them. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know, and now that's another one, you know. We see a lot of times Marriott hotels, they have this stupid cat's up there. He was up on the counter. Shoot him. Marriott has this thing about, you know, their policies and the golden rule. They treat their guests as though they would want to be treated. You know, and they say the golden rule. Well, the golden rule is really taken from this, isn't it? But it's not do unto others you have them do unto you, but it's love thy neighbor as thyself, is what it really says. Let's go to Deuteronomy 23. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Don't let them back in. Just leave them out there. Okay, chapter 23, verse 3. It says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Ammonites and Moabites. God had a problem with the Ammonites and the Moabites. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt. Now, the Ammonites and the Moabites were some kind of distant cousins to the Israelites, right? And when Israel came out of Egypt and they wanted to go through their land, the Ammonites and the Moabites didn't want to let them. And they didn't meet him with bread and water. And even when Israel offered to pay them, they refused them. When he came forth out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. So, you know, these people weren't the, you know, so they were enemies, right? They were enemies of Israel. They were cursed. See? But over here, back in Matthew, what does Jesus Christ say? He says, you have heard it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. We read that, right, in Leviticus, love thy neighbor as thyself. And hate thine enemy. And God enumerated a couple of enemies there. And all, of course, any non-Israelite was what? A Gentile. And they looked down upon the Gentiles, and they had no respect for the Gentiles. They considered them like dogs. Then he says in verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, it's all in the context of what he's talking about and how we are to deal with people. And so that's the way we are to be, right? Now, having said that, there are times when, you know, the sun's going to come up every day regardless, right? And it's going to rain. But, you know, God promised Israel that they would get rain in the season. You know, he did. I truly believe, I can't document this really, but obviously unbelievers get blessed with believers. God does things for believers, and if an unbeliever happens to be around, he's going to get blessed. You know, if you owned a farm and you needed rain and God sent rain to your farm, the guy next door probably will get rain too. You know, it has nothing to do with him being good or bad. It's just he happens to be at the right place at the right time. God blesses people, and you know, things are set up. The laws of nature are set up, and so on and so forth. But God does protect his people too, doesn't he? He does. So, but the things of nature, the sun rises, the sun sets, the rains come, the rains go, the seasons change. All that stuff happens. And it happens, and the unbeliever gets blessed along with the believer. It's just the way it is. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? So this is really what he's talking about. You know, how you are to conduct your life with graciousness and the love of God. Do not even the publicans the same? You know, it's easy to love people that love you. What about people that don't love you? It's hard to love them. You know, we talk about tough love, but you know, there are also people that are tough to love. You know, but we're not to think in those terms. It talks about it a little bit in James. You know, it says, you know, if somebody comes into your fellowship and he's dressed well and he's well educated and he's bathed and he smells good and you give him a seat of honor. And then the guy comes in that's poor and has ragged clothes, and you sit him over in the corner somewhere. He said, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to treat everybody the same. So verse 47 says, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also? So be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, God rains his love on all when they believe. You know, he wants everybody to get born again, doesn't he? He extends that to them. And it says that we are to love all people. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you know, God is really interesting. So if a farmer has 100 acres of ground and he has X amount of seed, and the guy only plants half the seed, God can't double the amount of the yield, can he? He can only cause the seeds that are planted to grow. Now, he could make sure that they all grow and that they all produce good fruit. You know, he could bless the ground, but he can't go beyond what is planted. So, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he soweth to his flesh, shall he also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall also reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. The word men is in italics, but it means, you know, all people, all men and women. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we are to be especially good unto believers, but we're to be good unto all people. Because all people deserve our graciousness and love to the best of our ability, as, you know, as much as they allow us to. Let's go to John chapter 15. Now, in Matthew, Jesus Christ, that was part of the Sermon on the Mount, right? He was speaking to Israel. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's a very practical teaching, a lot of it, you know. Previously, he goes through the Beatitudes, blessed is the meek, they inherit the earth, blessed this, blessed that. And then he gets into marriage, and he talks about marriage and you know, that God never intended for them to get divorced and all this stuff. And then he got to the place where we looked at, and it had to do with how you are to live your life. Here in Matthew, here in John chapter 15, I should be there, verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. He's speaking to his disciples, right? This is pretty late. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Pretty cool. You know, and his commandment was that they were to love one another. Then he goes on, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You know, and he did. He went and he called out those apostles, right? He went on the seaside, he saw John and James, he said, follow me. And he saw Peter, well, saw Peter's brother, and Peter's brother went and got him. And he saw Philip, he said, I saw you under a tree, and all that stuff. He called them. He said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Okay. Now let's go to 1 John. Epistle of 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse Okay, it says in verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." You know, how simple. And let's go to Romans. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to make things complicated. You know, you look at the word and you want to make it complicated. The word's not really complicated. And when people make it complicated, they make it confusing. The word can be intricate and it can be detailed, but it's not complicated. There's a difference between intricacy and details and complicated. So, you know, simplest thing is God says that we're to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another, or love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, practically speaking, if you live like that, you live a great life. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 8. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." The context of that is tribute and honor and respect. "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." That's what Jesus Christ said, right? "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets." Everything is dependent upon that. Verse 9, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill," which is really murder. "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." You know, sometimes we get so worried, I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, or, you know, it says love covers a multitude of sins, right? Saves a lot of worry if you walk in love. Verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation or deliverance nearer than when we believed." And that's true always, right? Every day our deliverance is closer than it was when we believed, or since yesterday. You know, we get closer to the return with every second that ticks away. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, and not in strife or in envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So, you know, then we go to Ephesians, and what does it say? It says, "Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, a sacrifice and a sweet savor unto God," right? That's how we're to live life. So that's what I wanted to share.